Tomorrow on Lincoln's birthday. His name, Daniel Harris, dead in the 98th year of his life. To the memory of this last survivor of the 8,000 Jews who fought under the banner of the Union in the Civil War, we dedicate this program. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations bring you Chapter 19 of The Eternal Light. This public service program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, entitled Mr. Lincoln and the Rabbi, is written by Morton Wishengrad and features Roger DeCoven as Benjamin Zold. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by Dr. Bernard J. Bamberger.
Avadim hayinu hayinu ata b'nei chorin b'nei chorin.
Spring had come early. April was a seed time of hope and a promise of fertility. In the spring of 1861, few men could foresee the terrible harvest of the year's end. Benjamin Zold was my name, and I was the rabbi of the congregation Ohev Shalom in the city of Baltimore. 1861. I shall tell you a story of that year. A story of a man called Simeon Marks and another man called Abraham Lincoln. And if what I have to tell holds more in the telling of legend than of history, I pray you to consider the words of a sage of Israel, that while history has her truth, legend has her truth also. There was peace in the little study of my house on Utah Street. The Sabbath sermon was nearly finished, and I was content. Content, that is, until two members of the congregation paid me an unexpected visit.
Rabbi Zold, we don't want you to deliver that sermon.
That's curious, Simeon. How do you know what's in it?
We can guess.
Jacob's right. Rabbi Zold, we don't like slavery any more than you do. But we're Southerners, and we won't see the South attack.
Cheer it up, Rabbi Zold. Stop preaching against the law of Maryland. It's no crime to own a slave in this state, and you know it.
Yes, I know. What is called law we've made into an assassin.
We're not asking you to defend slavery, but we are asking you not to condemn it. Your sermons have split the congregation down the middle. It's got to end, Rabbi Zold. And if it doesn't, well, you yourself will have no choice but to leave.
Drink your tea, Benjamin, before it gets cold.
That's all right, Sophie. I just want to think.
There are other congregations. There's a place waiting for you in New England.
Sophie, I'm a rabbi. If I have a function, it's to mediate between men, to settle differences. I don't want my sermons to be a bleeding sore.
Your tea is getting cold. Oh, now stop worrying. Besides, Mr. Ephraim's going to be here soon to talk about that pulpit in Boston.
I know.
What are you going to tell Mr. Ephraim?
I don't know, Sophie. I just don't know.
Nice country this, Rabbi Zoll.
Warmer than Boston.
I like Boston. Couldn't get me to stay here for all the money in the world.
No, Mr. Ephraim?
No. Rabbi, slavery is a curse against humanity.
Mr. Ephraim, what brought you south?
Offer you a new pulpit, Rabbi.
What else?
Well, I got to buy some cotton. The mill's running low. You don't make textiles without cotton.
Slave cotton, Mr. Ephraim.
We can't help ourselves, Rabbi Zold. That's a mighty unfriendly thing to say.
Oh. Mr. Ephraim.
Thanks for driving me to the station, Rabbi.
Try to understand me, sir. I hate slavery, but I don't blame the South for it. I live in the South. I see men like other men, no better, no worse. The North can rail as much as it chooses, but the North bears equal responsibility with the South. Southern slave cotton makes Yankee mills turn.
I suppose that little speech means you've turned us down.
Yes, Mr. Ephraim.
Well, suit yourself, Rabbi. Tell me, if the war comes, where will you stand? With the North or with the South?
That's a hard question, Mr. Ephraim. I'll give you a hard answer. Hard for me, at any rate. I'll stand with the North.
My head spins. Isn't anybody clear about anything?
There was a French philosopher named Pascal, Mr. Ephraim. He said once that truth is two opposites. That's about the only thing that is clear. I'm going to stick to my congregation, Mr. Ephraim. That's all I can do.
Lo maleichem malachei hashoreis malachei elyon.
The sermon Simeon asked me not to deliver was in my hand. The service was over. The congregation was tense, for I had announced a sermon and a discussion to follow. Sophie sat in the first pew watching my face. Simeon watched also, and there was a plea in his eyes, a plea which I had to disregard. I have chosen for my text a verse from Isaiah. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Members of the congregation, I'm reluctant to be a cause of dissension in your midst. Yet it seems to me that not I, but the word that we live by is that cause. That word, this book, cannot be warrant or authority against humanity itself. Evil cannot be ratified by law. Custom cannot make sin a tradition. There are some, I know, who open the Bible to find sanction for slavery. They falsify the word of God. Will you let the forger find sanction in the Bible for forgery, or the adulterer find sanction for adultery? Simeon Marks, you came to me in friendship, gave me friendly counsel. Forgive me for addressing you this way, but Simeon, how shall I answer evil if not with justice? If slavery is a right, humanity is a fraud. And if I remain silent, am I not a hypocrite?
May I speak, Rabbi?
Please do, Simeon.
There's a colored man in my house called Jim. I've taught him to read. I've clothed him. I've tended him when he is sick. Am I evil because of that?
You are a master who is kind to his slave. There is evil in that, Simeon.
But I'm not responsible for the system. I did not make the law or the decisions of the Supreme Court. Rabbi, you know in your heart and soul that there's more understanding and consideration for the Negro here than there is in the North.
It's an easy thing for the master to be benevolent, Simeon. Look in Mishnah Sanhedrin. Only one man was created by God as the common ancestor of all men for the sake of the peace of the human race, that one may not say to another, my ancestor was better than thine.
Have I said that I am better than Jim?
Your actions say it. Your benevolence says it.
Isn't it better for Jim to stay with me and be treated well?
He deserves your good treatment as a man, not as your slave.
What if I freed Jim? One man, one among millions. Is it right to ask me to do what no one else does?
I remind you that you are a Hebrew, a descendant of those Israelites who were the first to proclaim liberty. I remind you, Simeon, and I remind this congregation what Israel has always represented. I recall to you that it was the ancient sect of the Essenes which first declared slavery to be a crime. I'm not wrong when I remind you of these things. What is it you want from me, a platitude? Cantor, I think it's time for Yigdal.
Yigdal Elohim Chai, Vayishtabach, Nimtso B'yayinai, Yisrael Metziuso.
He sang the words of the concluding Sabbath hymn. Words of love and kindness and mercy for men created in the image of God. And as we listened, I thought of the besetting sin of our generation. To open the book, to scan the text, and to seek confirmation only for what has already been done or for what is desired. I was only a rabbi. I was no bookkeeper of consciences. Yet Simeon was on my conscience. He troubled me. He troubled me a great deal in the days that followed. And not only Simeon, but the man Jim, Simeon's slave. And then one night, there was a knock on the door of the house in Utah Street.
I'll see who it is. But is something wrong with Simeon?
Please, ma'am, you've got to let me in, quick.
Jim, what's happened?
Please, ma'am, please, please close the door.
Of course.
Reverend, you mustn't let him take me. I come to you because I heard speak of you. You can't let him find me. I'll kill myself first, Reverend.
Jim, you run away, haven't you?
I won't be taken. No one's going to send me back.
No one will, Jim.
Swear it. On the book. Oh, I'm sorry, Reverend. But I'm scared. Terrible scared. I'm sorry.
Sit down, Jim. That's better, isn't it? Now, why did you run away, Jim? Were you mistreated?
No, never.
Then why did you run away?
Your people were slaves once. You run away.
Here, Jim. I brought you this. Now drink it hot.
Right. Thank you. Kindly, ma'am.
Oh, it's all right, Jim.
Why is everybody good to me? I don't want no one to be good to me. I don't want to be treated special. I can't stand it no more. I can't. I don't know where to turn, don't know what to do, where to go. Ain't no place for me to go. No place. Nowhere.
Jim, please.
If you say to the white man, mister, you forget your hat, he say, black man, go get it for me.
Jim, do you take sugar?
Sugar? Yes, ma'am. Two lumps.
I think it's time to... Excuse me, it's time to feed the baby.
You can stay here, Jim.
You won't give me up, Reverend? I don't want to keep saying it, but don't give me up.
Trust me, Jim.
Well, how can I? You got to give me up. That's the law. Oh, it's no use. No use at all, I guess.
Jim, please, trust me. We'll find you a blanket. Try not to worry. Remember, whatever I do, whoever comes to this house... Remember, you'll be safe here.
Rabbi Zold, why did you ask me here?
I'm afraid you haven't eaten very much, Simeon.
He's hardly touched a thing, not even the potato pudding.
Well, I'm upset. Forgive me for spoiling your dinner.
Oh, it's all right, Simeon. I'll clear away the things.
Stay a while, Sophie. There's always time for a Sabbath song of grace, isn't there, Simeon?
I suppose so.
Good. Sur Michelot. And a little less vibrato this time, Sophie.
Sur Michelot, hallelujah, baruch hu emunai, savanu vehosanu, hidvara.
Excuse me.
Jim.
I brought some more tea.
Oh, Jim, thank God you're safe.
I'm safe, Master.
I'm so glad to see you, Jim. I've missed you terribly.
I've missed you, Master.
Why did you run away from me, Jim?
Didn't run away from you.
No, Jim?
No, sir. I run away from being a slave.
Will you come back, Jim?
I stopped being a slave.
Come back, Jim. Come back as a free man. You're free, Jim.
You mean that, Mr. Simeon?
I've never lied to you, Jim.
No, sir. You never lied to nobody. Well, I'll be mighty glad to work for you, sir. Mighty proud.
For Michelot, Hallelu, Bara for Emunai,
they stood there in our house while Sophie and I looked on. And it was as though 100 Sabbath candles were shining. Yet even in our radiance, I remembered the words of the French philosopher, truth is two opposites. Four guns had fired on Fort Sumter, and the congregation Ohev Shalom, like the American states, was sundered by the war. Some of the congregation went north to put on the blue uniform. Some went south and wore Confederate gray. And Simeon Marks came to me in the synagogue to say goodbye.
I am leaving tonight, Rabbi Zold.
You're past the age of fighting. Why do this, Simeon?
I'm a southerner, Rabbi.
But you can't fight. You've just freed Jim. It's irrational.
I'm not fighting for slavery. I'm fighting for the right of the South to work out its own solution.
It's inconsistent with everything you've done.
Maybe. The world would be pretty dull if people were always consistent.
You're unfit for fighting. I know you're not well anymore. Simeon, please reconsider.
I can still do things for the South. There's one way I can serve.
What way, Simeon?
Goodbye, Rabbi.
Simeon, what way? Tell me.
Goodbye, Rabbi.
You won't tell me?
I can't. But it's a way to help the South, that's all I can say. God bless you, Rabbi. Look after Jim for me.
The battles of Bull Run were fought, and the sick and the wounded were brought back. We tended them. Men in soiled blue, men in bloody gray. We tended them as best we could. And Sophie and I looked into the sightless eyes and the bleeding faces, looking for Simeon. The months passed. The war was a terrible sickness and an agony. And we continued to look and to search. Then there was an end of searching.
This letter come. Mr. Simeon asked me to tell you.
Yes, Jim. Tell me what.
He's been taken by General Meade. Taken 3 days ago. They let him send this letter. He's been tried. He's going to be shot.
Shot?
Yes, Reverend. They're going to shoot him for a Confederate spy.
Mr. Lincoln, concede on, Rabbi. The cabinet is meeting.
A man's life hangs in the balance, Mr. Hay. I must see the president.
I'm sorry, Rabbi. My orders are strict.
Then, please, give Mr. Lincoln a message for me.
All right, I guess I can do that. You'll find paper and pen on the desk.
No, give him this Bible. Let me mark this passage. Yes. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Take this in, Mr. Hay. Take this to Mr. Lincoln.
Strange you should send me a Bible, sir.
Not strange, Mr. Lincoln. I counted on it. I believe you were brought up on it, sir. So was I. Mr. Lincoln, if thy friend asks thine assistance and thine enemy asks thine assistance, it is thy duty to aid thine enemy, because this is an act of self-conquest.
The Bible, Rabbi?
No, Mr. Lincoln, the Talmud. But perhaps you remember from the book of Proverbs. If thine enemy be hungry,
give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. I remember, Rabbi. I try not to forget.
Then pardon Simeon Marks.
No, Rabbi. I cannot. I cannot help him. I am the leader of an army, and he is my mortal enemy. He was a competent spy for the Confederacy. We've tried for months to catch him. Rabbi, war has its own justice. If this man is a good soldier, he understands that. Look, Rabbi Zolder. A silk flag I have kept in this drawer for many months. A man by the name of Abraham Cohn sent it to me. The city clerk of Chicago, I believe. I think you know the Hebrew text he sewed on it.
Yes, Mr. Lincoln. Have I not commanded thee, be thou strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
I hope the Lord will also be with this spy, Rabbi Zold. I can do nothing but give you this pass to see him. I'm very sorry.
Don't grieve, Rabbi Zold. Mr. Lincoln was right. War is war. It cannot be softened. I'm ready, Rabbi Zold.
Jim sent this for you.
My prayer shawl. Thank Jim for me.
I will, Simeon.
I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. You see, I remember your text. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. I hope it's true, Rabbi.
Yes, Simeon.
I'm a coward. I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid of pain. There's so much pain in the world. I hope something good comes out of this war, out of all the pain. I've worked for the South. But whoever wins, I pray to God it's for something better. I pray to God.
And I will give thee for a covenant of the people to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house.
Adonai El 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 Adon
Copies of the script you have just heard, as well as the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present a brief talk by Dr. Bernard J. Bamberger, Rabbi of the West End Synagogue, New York City. Dr. Bamberger.
The slavery question was settled after untold suffering and bloodshed. But though we have settled the question of slavery, we have not settled the question of freedom, as the present war tragically testifies. We no longer buy and sell human beings, but mankind has not yet achieved the full measure of liberty. Even in this land of liberty, much remains to be accomplished, and the problem of race especially still baffles and bedevils us. It is surprising how similar are our present difficulties to those which troubled Benjamin Zolt and Simeon Marx. The differences and antagonisms between North and South have not yet disappeared. The Negro is still the victim of discrimination both in North and in South. Now as then, the discriminatory measures against the Negro are more official and unconcealed in the South, while in the North they are no less real and galling. Now as then, the Negro desires, and today he more clearly and vocally demands, not kindness, not special favors, but the same basic human rights as everyone else. Today, as 80 years ago, injustice to a single racial minority is a threat to the stability and the safety of the entire nation. Wherever the rights and liberties of any group are threatened, no man's rights and no man's liberties are safe. The problem of the Negro is not the only problem of race relations that disturbs the internal tranquility of our country, though it is the biggest one, affecting 10% of our citizens, and perhaps the most aggravated. The teachings of religion and the security of the nation alike demand that we face and solve this question of minorities. The color of a man's skin and the texture of his hair, the country he or his grandfather came from, and the church he chooses to attend must not have a bearing on his right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As a human being and as an American, he cannot be denied decent facilities for living, the education for which he is qualified, and the job for which he is fitted. It is gratifying to record that the voice of religion is being heard more and more plainly on this subject. Recently, one of the great agencies of the Christian Church has issued a magnificent manifesto on race relations. A people which has sent its fighting men thousands of miles to vindicate liberty and justice must have the ability and the will to establish a fuller measure of justice and freedom within its own borders. We must be prepared to act and to live in accordance with a sacred word spoken in the very first chapter of our Bible. God created man, man without qualification. God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. And now, O God of freedom, we thank thee that in the days just past, deliverance has come to many captives who dwelt so long in darkness. Grant that the day of full liberation may soon come, when all thy children shall praise thee as author of liberty. Amen.
The script was written by Morton Wishengrad and featured Roger DeCoven as Rabbi Benjamin Zold and Rod Hendrickson as Simeon. The music was composed by Henry Brandt and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the soloist, and the speaker was Dr. Bamberger. The entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery. The Eternal Light is a public service presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. These programs are presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Copies of the script may be obtained without cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.